Welcome to Saints History, told and experienced the way God intended it, with excessive amounts of alcohol and cursing. The booze is probably bourbon because...
Other alcohols are for rich women on diets.
Now, here's your drunk Saints History host, who is...
bombed out of his gourd.
Hi, welcome to April edition of Drunk Saints History. I'm your host, Ralph Marlboro. You donated for it, you get it. So this year we try to do, for season two, we try to do like different things. And Andrew, you had a great idea, and we're doing it this time. You said, hey, let's talk about players' careers, and we'll just get drunk and talk about certain Saints players. So the opening one we're doing is Pat Swilling, which his career with the Saints is just strange and weird and wonderful and all kinds of things. You know, he's the only Saints player to ever win defensive player of the year.
I thought Leroy Glover did. Or did he do just NFC player of the year?
Yeah, I think he just did NFC player.
Okay.
So Pat Swilling, you know, the Saints drafted him out of Georgia Tech in 86, which was one of the great Saints drafts. They drafted Swilling and Dombrowski and Hilliard and Mays and just a fucking phenomenal draft. You know, and the thing is with Pat Swilling is you look at him, dude, from 87 to 92, he never had less than 7 sacks in a season. He went 10.5, 7, 16.5, 11, 17, 10.5. That was his Saints career sack total, which is just crazy.
Yeah. He was kind of one of those athletes that, and remember, the Saints had Ricky Jackson on the other side. And this is back, you know, when the Saints ran a 3-4 defense, and so their two primary pass rushers were their two outside linebackers. And Ricky Jackson, obviously, was a very good player, Hall of Famer. Ricky Jackson, I would say, was more like Cam Jordan in that he was a good pass rusher because he did everything well. He had a lot of moves. He had good strength. He had good speed. He had good power. You know, he had good intelligence, IQ, all that stuff. He would get sacks in a lot of different ways. Ricky Jackson was just a really good football player. Swilling, it was all speed. Man, he just coming off the edge. He had great bend, and he just was so explosive off the snap that a lot of these guys just couldn't keep up with him. And so, you know, when you look at Ricky Jackson's stats, you know, he's always kind of steady Eddie and always had good years, but you'll notice that he never really had the enormous sack totals that Pat Swilling had a couple times.
Yeah.
And that was just because sometimes Pat Swilling, when he was feeling healthy and playing well, he was virtually unblockable. I remember the Saints drafted him excited because he had gotten 7 sacks in a game.
Yeah.
By himself for Georgia Tech, yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is with him is, you know, people that are younger, they know it, of course, if they know NFL history and all that. But like, they didn't have free agency back in the 90s, in the 80s. So, like, players just, the NFL Players Union just got rolled in negotiation after negotiation. So, players, like, they didn't have free agency. So, when your contract was up, you just fought with the team and you would hold out. And that's what happened in the 80s and 90s, into the mid 90s. Like, players wouldn't have a contract and they would just not go to camp because they weren't signed, right? And Pat Swilling, a lot of the Saints, Pat Swilling and Ricky Jackson and other guys had holdouts, but man, Pat Swilling's holdouts were fucking bitter, man. Because starting in 1990, his holdouts were bitter. Like, I remember 1990, like, he signed, like, the week before the 49er game and was still awesome. Came on Monday night and was great, but those holdouts with Finks were fucking bitter, man.
Yeah, you know, I think Swilling... Saints were in a tough position in that they had 4 really good linebackers who were all Pro Bowlers.
And Jim Finks didn't want to pay any of them.
Right. He didn't want to pay any of them. You know, and I think it's tough because, you know, I think Finks was like, hey, you're not as good without the other three. I mean, he would say that to any of those four linebackers. And, you know, I think Swilling statistically was the one that stood out. You know, I think you could say that, you know, I think a lot of old school Saints fans would say, oh, Ricky Jackson is one of the best that ever played for the Saints. And Sam Mills is a lot of people's favorites because he was little, but, you know, he was kind of the leader in tackles. You know, he had the highest tackle total. And then Vaughn Johnson was by far the biggest hitter of the four. And so, you know, some Saints fans liked him the best because he killed people. Like, they're seriously, he could be charged with murder. Swilling, though, you know, and this is how you measure, you know, unless you're, back then they didn't have analytics, you know, they didn't have PFF, they didn't have a bunch of fans watching film. So how you measured whether a guy was good or not was how many sacks does he have?
Dude,
that was how you evaluate someone. And Swilling had the most. You know, he was the most explosive of those four. And he had the stats.
And there was a stretch where, you know, it seemed people would be like, that's fucking ridiculous. There's no way. But there was a stretch in 89, 90, 91 where people were like, Pat Swilling is better than LT.
Yes.
Because in 89, he had 16 and a half sacks. And I can tell you, like, if Pat Swilling were playing football today and he was a fourth-round pick and he had 4, 10.5, 7, and 16.5 sacks in his first 4 years and his contract was up, he'd get a fucking $100 million from the Saints or they would franchise him. Like, teams would be falling all over their fucking cells to sign him. He'd be Von Miller. They'd be like, we got to give him $70 million guaranteed. Like, Pat Swilling, 89, 90, and 91 was like a fucking animal of destruction, you know, in 92 too. You know, and
there's no question. I think, you know, LT was amazing for a long period of time. And Swilling was, I would say, you know, there was maybe 3-4 years there where he was at that level, but he was right there with him.
His 91, where he had 17 sacks, he had an interception in the opening game against Seattle.
Yeah,
he ran it back
for a touchdown. Yeah.
Like, he just
I was at that game.
He just murdered people. Like teams with left tackles that were shit. He would just be like, Pat Swilling is one of those defensive players, and it's hard because, like, the Saints defense is finally good again, right? But it's mostly their back end that's good. Lattimore and Marcus Williams and Crawley. So you don't get the same thing. There was a time, man, when that Dome Patrol was rocking where, like, as great as their linebackers was and as good as the front was with Wayne Martin and Wilkes and Warnell, Pat Swilling just, like, popped off your TV because he was so fucking super athletic. Your eyes would glue to him and you wouldn't even pay attention to the ball. Like, that's how good he was. He would make you not look at the ball because you wanted to see him just roast offensive tackles.
Mm-hmm.
The thing was, this is not good Pat Swilling. Pat Swilling was so good after the 91 season. Detroit was like, we are fucking signing you to an offer sheet, Pat Swilling, and we'll give the Saints 2 first-round picks. Like, that's how fucking awesome you are. We're going to sign you because your contract is up. And, that was on, like, back in the night, like, that, like, teams never did that, Andrew. Like, they just, that was free agency. Like, that's what you could do. You could sign a dude and if the team had a week to match, and if they didn't match it, the Saints would have got 2 first round. Like, that's how good Swilling was. Like, Detroit paid him, like, a pretty ridiculous amount of money, and, like, dare. And, like, I think they thought, like, Finks is never going to fucking match this contract. Like, I want to say it was, like, 4 years and, like 20 million or so, or, like,
18. Which at the time was.
Which at the time in, like, 91 was fucking batshit insane, right? But the Saints ended up matching it, and he comes back in 92 and is awesome again. And then the Saints fucking ship him out to Detroit for like a first and a fourth the next year.
You know? Yeah, yeah. And I'll never forget the Detroit Lion fans were pissed for a couple reasons. I think, first of all, Pat Swilling was number 56, and I think he kind of demanded, like, he told the Lions, well, if I can't be 56, I'm not coming. So they had to unretire. I forget who the Lions had, but they had some guy that had, I'm sure it's on the internet somewhere, but they had some guy that was 56, and Swilling was like, no, I want that number. So they had to unretire it. So he was kind of already starting off on the wrong foot. But the Lions at this point, I mean, are garbage. They're just a garbage franchise. You know, they had a moment with Wayne Fonts and Barry Sanders around this time, but Swilling never lives up to the hype. He never lives up to.
Yeah, he's only there. He's only there for 2 years.
Yeah, he was banged up. I remember, you know, he was kind of injured. He might have gotten benched at one point, but you know. Like, by all accounts, he's done. And then he goes out to Oakland to play for the Raiders. And, like, out of nowhere, he's awesome again.
Yeah, they put him at end, and they're just like, just go get the quarterback, dude. And he had 13 sacks. He had 13 sacks, 6 sacks, and then he started
He had a good couple years with them.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is, like, Pat Swilling, I don't know where you would rank him in Saints players top or whatever, you know,
top 20, where, top 20 for sure.
Top 20 for sure.
Maybe top 10, like back half.
But like,
I would say top 15 for sure.
But if you ranked Saints players at like their peak, like how good was their best?
Oh well, I mean, I would say he had the best single season in Saints history for a defensive player.
91.
Again, he's the only guy that ever was named defensive player of the year.
Yeah, I mean,
I think you can put like some seasons, like Leroy Glover had 1 year that was amazing. Darren Sharper, you know, in 2009 was amazing. You know, Cam Jordan this year was pretty great. You know, I mean, there's Dave Waymer probably had a year or two, or Tommy Myers had a year that was incredible, where I think he had 9 picks. But, you know, I would say those several I just mentioned are probably like the top 5-6 single season years in Saints history, but I would put Swilling at number one.
Yeah, I mean, I would too. And the thing is with him is he like I said before, he just popped off the screen. And the thing is with Swilling is,
he was exciting, man. He was an exciting player to have on your team.
Yeah, it was so, like, the people that are younger, you like, yeah, you think of the Dome Patrol as like, yeah, Jim Moore didn't win a playoff game and they didn't and they never won a Super Bowl and all that, and their offense was fucking a joke, and they won a division title where their leading rusher had like 520 yards. But man, when they played teams that were even good offenses, and those offensive head, they got, the Saints would get ahead, and those teams had to throw or whatever, or they had offensive line issues, or people were beat up, or their line just wasn't very good. Like, the Saints would fucking destroy them. It got to the point where it was at games where you would be like, Saints, hurry up and kick your fucking field goal so the defense can come out here and humiliate Chris Chandler when he plays for Tampa more, because that's what I want to watch. I want to watch this defense humiliate teams. Hurry up and kick your field goal and get up 9-0 so we can watch this boa constrictor just strangle this team to death.
Oh, you know, so one thing we forgot to mention was that, so there was this whole contract thing with Swilling, and Swilling was like, I'm the best player in the league, pay me. And Finks is like, I'm not paying you.
Finks never paid fucking anybody.
Yeah.
Man.
So in 1990, he drafts Ronaldo Turnbull.
Oh, I forgot. I can't believe I'm so drunk. I forgot this.
Yeah. So he drafts Ronaldo Turnbull in the first round, and he's like, you know, he's the next Pat Swilling. And so he's on the roster, and basically Turnbull is, I mean, he's a first round pick, and he's supposed to be really good, but he's not playing, because he's behind Ricky Jackson and Pat Swilling. So, and when he was drafted, the expectation was kind of that he would eventually replace Ricky Jackson, because Jackson was a little bit older than Swilling.
Yeah.
But so Turnbull just kind of, you know, he has a good first year, because I think there were some injuries, but like his first 3 years, he kind of doesn't do anything.
Yeah, he had 9 sacks his first year.
And so then, like, I think Finks just kind of gets pissed off with Swilling, and he starts, and I think he actually was kind of on it. I mean, Swilling ended up kind of reviving his career in Oakland, but he shipped out Swilling at the right time because Swilling had a bad couple years in Detroit.
And they ended up giving Turnbull the contract that Swilling always wanted from the Saints, which is just fucking, it's just the fucking worst of things.
Like, ridiculous.
Like, Swilling is like, pay me, pay me, pay me. And he's like, I'm not paying anybody. And then.
So Turnbull has one good year. And he makes the pay him, 13 sacks. And so they're like, oh, this is the next Pat Swilling. And then they pay him. And he goes full Junior Gallet, basically. Well, as soon as he gets paid, he's like, yeah, I'm done, you know, being a team player, and it's all about me now.
What was the year Mora got fired in 96? Turnbull walked off the fucking field during a Sunday night game. He got so mad at Venturi, the interim coach, or maybe Mora was still the coach. Like, he got so mad, he fucking walked off. Like, he just, like, I'm not playing anymore, and, like, went to the locker room, which, like, if that happened today, we'd be like, what the fuck? Like, it would be a story for the whole week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Turnbull wasn't terrible. He just, like, he was just...
Bad attitude.
He was a bad attitude, and he was super athletic, and he just, like, he didn't work that hard. And like you said, he had, like, one good year. You know, it just, like, I have to think, like, Pat Swilling, like, punched a fucking hole in the wall when he saw that the contract that Ronaldo Turnbull got after 93. Like, you know, like... It just like here's the thing, like I said it like maybe last year on these drunken podcasts, is like Jim Finks, I know his thing is up in the dome, but man, after like 86, 87, like he did fucking horrible moves with the Saints and was not that good of a GM. Like, he started out good.
He was stubborn, man.
He was a stubborn old school son of a bitch.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
But the and thing
he,
is
like you would screw if you pissed him off. But if his perception was that you were asking for more than you deserved, then he would do something just to spite you.
Yes.
And so that's what the Turnbull thing was all about. It wasn't that he loved Turnbull. It was that he was going to stick it to Pat Swilling. Swilling wouldn't take what he thought was a fair offer. He kept trying to drive up his price, which I think at the time was a rightful thing to do because he was the best defensive player in the NFL. And Finks is like, nope, not doing it. So as soon as he traded him, he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give Turnbull the contract that Pat wanted as a big middle finger.
You know, and the thing is, like, the money that Pat Swilling wanted, like, we look at it now. He, like, wanted, like, $2 million a year. Like, it's like we look at it now, we're like, what the fuck? It's comical. Man, NFL players in the 80s, man, and 90s, they got fucked because they didn't have free agency. You know, like Bobby Hebert, when he signed with the Saints, like, he wanted, like, average top 15 quarterback money. He got, like, a two-year, like, $5 million deal, $6 million deal. Like, it was ridiculously low. And, I mean, I know you're like, well, Ralph, that's 28 years ago, inflation and all that. But, man, they just the NFL just...
But Finks knew that he had the players by the balls, and he was unrelenting.
Unrelenting. And he would, like, rub it in, too, because, like, he used to have a radio show every week and would just... Like, it was... Finks was just... He was just horrible. They need to take down his thing. They're gonna talk about taking down the statues in New Orleans, the Confederate statues. We need to start a movement. Take down Jim Finks's fucking plaque in the dome. I'm serious.
Well, I will give him this though, man. That roster he orchestrated from top to bottom. I mean, getting USFL guys. I mean, he built a juggernaut roster. He really
except,
did.
Except for quarterback and running back after Hilliard got hurt.
But man, you know those. The Saints corners, the kind of an underrated thing about this era is that the Saints corners were garbage.
Oh my god, they thought they were good. They're like, I never let a touchdown. Yeah, you never allowed a touchdown toy because the quarterback got sacked 150 million times.
Right, exactly. So that front, and it wasn't just the linebackers. I mean, Frank Warren, Jim Wilkes, Wayne Martin, they were nasty up front, man. And you know, those guys, that front seven was one of the best the NFL has ever seen. And some really, really horrific corners had decent NFL careers because of it.
Yeah. They had Toy Cook, Vince Buck, Robert Massey, Milton Mack was the modern day Sterling Moore. He was on and off the roster depending on the week and the injury.
Like if you gave those guys the pass rush the Saints had in 2012, they would have given up more yards.
They would have that team would have gave up 40 a week. Like and the thing is, like when they would play elite quarterbacks and they would get blocked, like they would get tore the. I can remember a game Jim Kelly in '92 just fucking ripped the Saints to shreds in the fourth quarter because they Buffalo did the hurry up and the Saints just got tired and they just fucking he just lit them fucking up. But Pat, I would say Pat Swilling, like if you like you said if he's definitely had the best season of any Saints defensive player. But if I think if you rated, like if you built the Saints all time team. Like I think he'd be like a top three pick on defense. Like he's got to be, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ricky Jackson had more longevity, and he was more like every year you kind of got the same level of production. So I mean, I think he has an argument for best Saints defensive player of all time. I mean, I would say Ricky Jackson is probably number one, but I mean. I would argue that Swilling is number two ever in Saints history. I mean, who else would you put ahead of him?
Mitka. People don't even understand that if they didn't listen to the other podcast. I would put Ricky Jackson, and I would probably put Wayne Martin ahead of him, just because Wayne
Swilling. No way.
Wayne Martin was so fucking. The thing is with Wayne Martin. Wayne Martin.
You have a thing for Wayne Martin.
I do. I have a Wayne Martin fetish. The thing is with Wayne Martin is he was never bad. Like, even in the end of his career, like, the Saints were, like, trying to get him to come back. Even, like.
So, you know how Pro Football Reference, you know they do that approximate value?
Yeah.
So, Ricky Jackson is number one for defensive players at 144 for the Saints. Number two at 89, so significantly less, is Swilling. Number three is Mills at 87. Number four is Wayne Martin at 85. And number five is Jim Wilkes.
Yeah, Jim Wilkes. Jim Wilkes was like, I don't know who you would describe him as today because
Wilkes played like 20 years for the Saints.
He played everywhere on the line. He played nose, he played left end, he played right end, he played defensive tackle. Like I don't know who you would describe. I mean, I don't know who you, because the Saints defense has been so bad for so long that they really haven't had like a jack of all trades guy in the front seven, you know? Think of it as like a poor man.
Wilkes was like Nick Fairley, except that like instead of lasting a year for the Saints, he did it for the Saints for like 15.
Yeah, and I can remember, and we'll enter this. I remember reading something about it was the Saints were playing the Rams, and the Rams were like, "Fucking Jim Wilkes, that guy deserves to go to the Pro Bowl." It was a Rams offensive lineman. It's like, I hate that fucking guy. Why he doesn't go to the Pro Bowl? I don't know. He plays everywhere, and I hate him. And he's unblockable, and he just I hate him. And I forget who it was for the Rams. They're like their center or something. And I was like, that's awesome. But anyway, you got another episode of Drunk Saints History. This is your April edition. We got two down, eight more to go. It's lovely. Thanks for joining me, Andrew. I was drunker than you. But, you know, people, they get what they paid for. I think they like this episode. Take us out, British lady.
Thanks to all of our Saints Happy Hour listeners whose donations made Drunk Saints history possible. Until next time, remember, surviving Saints history is hard. That's why God made alcohol.